And our message tonight is Thy Kingdom Come from Matthew 6, verse 10. Now, most of you know that this is a portion of what Jesus answered His disciples with when they asked Him to teach them how to pray. And we all, down through the ages that we have served the Lord Jesus Christ, have taken this to be a template prayer for God's people to use, in which that we can look in it and know what components, the very minimal, that we should pray for. And in this model prayer, as we might sometimes call it, that the Lord taught His disciples to pray, we find verse 10 couched in there. And this verse says, Thy kingdom come, says the Lord Jesus. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now we're entering, I believe, into a time when the people of God are going to find this prayer on their lips more and more frequently. I really, really believe that. There are forces that have been unleashed on the earth that are likely to cause the greatest of spiritual agonies and troubles of all kinds and sadnesses to believers. And I think more and more that Christ's disciples are going to discover that wickedness and the forces of evil that are all around us have greater and greater impact on any enjoyment of life that we might expect to get while we're here on earth. I think some of you have told me about instances and circumstances where much happiness that you might have been able to have enjoyed has been quenched by the forces of evil working within and without to change things in your life and here on earth. Now, while this is really a tragic truth that we have to live with, it only highlights the prophecy that the Lord Jesus Christ gave us in John 16:33 when He said, In the world ye shall have tribulation. And so, in that, the Lord Jesus Christ has promised us that we are going to have tribulation as we labor and as we serve and as we live in this present evil world. And we ought not to expect more or less. But when He promises tribulation, we sometimes give our own spin to that word tribulation, and we imagine that He's talking about a time when saints of God will have this awful trial of affliction that has never been recorded upon the earth. I don't believe that's what He was talking about. I believe He was talking about just what tribulation meant when the Bible was translated and brought out of the Greek. I believe it means troubles. I believe it means trials. The degree of which the word tribulation doesn't really categorize. It just says tribulation. And I believe every one of us can say, in my lifetime, I personally have experienced tribulation. So, this is something that the Lord has prepared us for in His prophecy of long ago. Now, Christ teaches us how to pray in this portion of Scripture, and these two sentences are taken out of that instruction. And during His own ministry on earth, He preached the gospel that said, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. We remember that He said that as He began to preach in Galilee. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But He also taught this in our text. This statement in the model prayer, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, I brought that out to point this thing out. That the Lord did not contradict Himself when He preached, on the one hand, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and on the other hand, pray thus, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. There's no contradiction there because on the one hand, He was introducing the fact that the beginning of the growing of the kingdom of heaven had begun. It had started. It had started when the Lord Jesus Himself set foot upon the earth. And it had grown by leaps and bounds as He began His earthly ministry on earth. And it is still going on. The kingdom of heaven is still growing. It's still expanding. It's still becoming larger and larger and more to the glory of God every day. But it isn't complete yet. It hasn't come in its fullness yet. And so that's why He can give us this instruction about what we should pray for when He says, pray this way, Thy kingdom come. Because He wanted us to be aware of the fact that there's a fuller manifestation of His kingdom yet to arrive. And we know as we read in the book of Revelation and in some of the writings of Paul that fullness of the coming of the kingdom is going to change everything. Everything is going to change. And so the Lord wanted us to pray for that change to happen. He wanted us to pray for the final culmination of His kingdom to arrive. Now, Daniel and Isaiah speak of that fullness, that culmination of the coming of the kingdom. And the words that they use tell us of a larger, more expansive realization of God's kingdom than we will ever realize here on earth until the Lord Jesus splits the clouds of glory. In Daniel 7, reading verses 13 and 14, we read that he says, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him, listen, dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. And then in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, the Scripture tells us, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. Now, what is he saying in those prophetic verses? He's saying that there's going to be a larger manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ's kingdom. That something bigger is awaiting us. Something greater is in our future. Something more wonderful is yet to come. For today we enjoy the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Today we enjoy the manifestation of the things of God. In this present evil world with sin and wickedness all around us, we feel somewhat protected. And we know our Lord is with us. And we know that He watches over us. But we haven't gotten to that place that the Lord speaks of in Daniel and Isaiah. So our prayer that the Lord Jesus taught us to pray looks for a final subjugation for all of creation. All of creation is going to be under subjection to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to exercise rulership over it all in due time. Now, I said all that to kind of set the stage for what I was explaining to you earlier was something of a different kind of message. And with in mind what I have just said about the coming of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want us to just think for a while about this one thought. And when I'm done with this thought, and to be honest with you, if God will use me, I may not get done tonight, but I'll go as far as I can. This one thought is this. What will be, or what would be, I might as well say what will be, the outcome when this prayer is answered. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I don't have much time to spend on this particular aspect of it, but let's just think for a minute about what's going on in heaven. Does God want something done? He merely needs to think the command and an angel springs instantly into action to accomplish what He has thought, what He has willed. what His intentions are? Does He desire that the forces of righteousness and the forces of the power of God be focused on a spot on this globe? All He needs to do is speak, and it is done. Instantly, all that is in heaven responds to His least command, His least thought, His least intention. Obedience is complete there, and joy is complete there, and glory to God is complete there, and everything that's going on in heaven is complete for the hour in which it's occurring. Now, I understand that there's going to come a day when the completeness of the joy and the glory and the bliss of heaven will be more complete than it is today. And that's when every saint of God in all of the history of man is finally and at last regenerated with a new body and brought to be with Christ forevermore. Then it will be totally complete. But right now in heaven, God's will is totally done. Completely, His will is completely obeyed, and everything that He wills is accomplished exactly according to His holy and perfect will. So then, with that in mind, what's the outcome of this prayer that Jesus has taught us to pray? What's the outcome of it being answered? I'm going to run through a laundry list, and I haven't touched nearly all that's there. But I hope what I speak of will be dear to your hearts. I hope the things that I remind us of that will occur when this prayer is answered will cause you to rejoice and recognize that God is going to level the playing field finally and at last. So let's think about this. What's going to happen when this prayer is answered? Well, the first thing that came to my mind as I prayed over this and thought about it is that there will be no more crooks, deceivers, power mongers, oppressors, or tyrants will sit in seats of government anymore. Now listen, in a world that's gone crazy with dictators and tyrants of every color, of every persuasion, we need something along that nature to make us rejoice. In a country, in a world that's gone crazy with people that are sitting on thrones of rulership that don't have any more sense of how to deal justly and righteously with the people of the earth than anything, we need to know that the Lord's going to level the playing field one day, and there will be no crooks, no deceivers, no power mongers, no oppressors, and no tyrants on any throne of rulership forevermore. In the book of Psalm chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, I understand that rulers are in power by the express will of God. And sometimes nations get rulers that they justly deserve. And that may be the case in every case. But you know, God has some words to say about rulers who rule unjustly. And I don't believe that God ever approves of a ruler acting the murderer, the tyrant, the dictator, and the oppressor, even though he's been seated in that place of rulership by the Lord Himself. That does violence to a divine appointment. And the Lord does not approve of that. In Psalms 2, verses 2 and 3, David says this. And when he says this, we have to ask the question as to whether or not this Scripture isn't more than just a statement about heathen rulers that were present in his day, and more than just a prophecy about heathen rulers that were going to be present at the coming of Christ. These two verses are about that. But I believe these verses say more than that. What he says is this, in Psalms 2, 2 and 3, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Doesn't that sound like something that rulers who have no intent of following God would be saying in their hearts, if not in fact, collaborating together to accomplish?
And I think we have a world of rulers today who have said, we will not have this man to rule over us. And they rule by their own sense of judgment, by their own sense of wisdom. And they don't seek after Jehovah God for guidance in regard to their ruling. And so, when God answers our prayer, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, there won't be any more rulers of this kind. He'll see to there, to that very thing. Another thing that we recognize is that there will no longer be crooked, deceptive, manipulative, self-serving lackeys serving those unworthy government leaders, or serving themselves, or both, by manipulating laws and policies of their land and meting out retribution to those who don't obey their own perverse designs and claims. There's coming a time when the Lord Jesus Christ will set up His kingdom, and that'll be an end to crooked government folks doing crooked government things and leading people in the wrong way and punishing those who don't go there. It'll be all ended. Proverbs 28, verses 15 and 16, the Scripture says, as a roaring lion and a raging bear, so is a wicked ruler over the poor people. The prince that wanteth understanding is also a great oppressor. Folks, we've got a world full of political leaders today throughout the world, not just in the United States, that do not have understanding about the great things of God. They don't have understanding about the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. They have no intention of following the righteous ways of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so because of that, they are as likely to go astray and to lead others astray as anything else. And more often than not, that's exactly what they do. But when the Lord Jesus Christ sets up His kingdom and begins His rule, no such representatives for the Lord Christ will be present. I'm glad for that. Another thing that we know will occur when the Lord answers this prayer, there will be no more powerful conspirators who will connive to manipulate people's lives for their own gain or to fulfill their own agendas. There won't be any. You know, today, in this world we live in, it doesn't matter where you go, whether in free countries or in countries that are under slavery to a dictator or a group of tyrants, we find that the masses very often are manipulated for wicked ends by people in power. Not just politicians, but people generally in power. Whether it be industry or whatever, people are manipulated by those who are in power. And they connive and conspire to bleed the people that are under them and take from them and give nothing in return. Or give a pittance for a fortune. That's the way it is in much of the world today. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to settle that. He's going to change things about that. And no one will practice a conspiracy to take you, to use you, to fulfill their agenda. It will not happen. Today it goes on largely throughout the world. But it will not happen when the Lord Jesus Christ sets up His government to rule mankind. Here's something to think about when the Lord Jesus Christ establishes His kingdom. There'll be no more criminals that'll violate the freedoms and rights of the people. No more criminals to violate us. You ever have this gnawing worry at night when you lay your head down to go to sleep? And I know that it doesn't take but a little prayer and trust in God for a lot of that worry to go away. Did you ever have this gnawing worry as to whether or not somebody in the night won't just try to kick your door in and come on in and get some stuff from you? Do you ever have just a gnawing worry when your loved ones drive away from the house of a morning, whether or not they might meet up with some villain out there on the street during the day or at the workplace and end up a victim, being victimized by those who would use people in general to obtain their ends, who are just may only be just violent individuals who want to do some harm to another human being. We have those things to be concerned with. And there's no denying that crime is on the rise. There's no denying that there's a criminal on every street corner. And we have to face this. Even trusting in God, we have to realize that the reality of it is we live in a world full of criminals. But in the day of the Lord's kingdom, there won't be a criminal to be found. Not one. They'll all be settled with by the Lord Himself at that great white throne judgment. And the kingdom that the Lord Jesus Christ finally establishes will be a righteous kingdom in which no criminals can work mischief. When the Lord answers that prayer, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven," there will be no more organizations or businesses that can fleece the citizens of the world. The days of extortion and robbery under the guise of doing business will be over. The Lord Jesus Christ will see to the end of that. Now, free market enterprise is a real great way to regulate the cost and the distribution of consumer goods, but it's also the perfect umbrella or the perfect cover, if you will, for unscrupulous people to set about with conspiracies and designs by which they can drain the resources of working men and women in this world. It's just a fact of business that the system, the free enterprise system we live under, allows people to go about wrecking havoc and working dishonest works. And all you need to do is jump on the internet nowadays to learn just how full blown that is. Because we have the largest scale fleecing of America going on, and the whole world for that matter, going on the internet than we ever dreamed could possibly happen. And they're doing it under the guise of running a business. There will be no more of that when the Lord Jesus Christ settles the issue once and for all. Here's something to think about when Jesus answers that prayer that He taught us to pray. Money will no longer be the predominant driving force for why men do what they do. Think about it. The Lord's going to put an end to this driving force called money. He's going to put an end to the agendas and the designs of men who are driven by the love of money to do the things they do, including violent and ungodly and conspiratorial practices against the common man. The Lord Jesus Christ will put an end to that when He comes in His glory. And money will not be the currency of trade in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now connected to that, when the Lord Jesus Christ sets up His kingdom, when His kingdom comes, and we've prayed our last prayer for it to come, a dollar's worth of goods or services in that day won't cost you $10. And I'm kind of glad that in this time of pinch that we are feeling right now, it's pleasant to me to realize that when the Lord Jesus sets up His kingdom, somebody won't be able to, because of the way the market's set up, sell me a dollar item and make me pay $10 for it. And I'm glad, because I don't have $10 to give nowadays for a $1 item. When the Lord Jesus Christ answers our prayer, guns will no longer be taken away from honest, law-abiding citizens. You might think, well, we do okay about that in America. We've still got our guns and the right to carry them. Have you ever noticed how our politicians are trying to chip away at the Second Amendment? You can mark it down that if Christ tarries, if Christ does not come soon, they will have our guns. All the major nations of the world have gone that route, much to their sorrow and detriment, because every one of them reveals statistically that when the guns are taken away from people, that the criminal keeps his guns and violence goes up. And those who use guns in those countries are only the criminals, because the honest, law-abiding citizen does not have a gun to use. But in the day that Christ establish His kingdom, guns will no longer be taken away from the citizenry because we won't need guns. And they won't be given to the criminals by black market deals that are made possible by the perverted laws of the land. Because Christ will eliminate all of that. And I'll be glad that I won't have to worry about needing to have a gun to protect myself and my loved ones. I'll be glad to walk free, alive and complete, on the streets of gold, and on the new earth with the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that the violent will not be able to use against me what I don't have a right to possess. Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ answers our prayer, we find that we'll also discover that we no longer see people bowing down to false gods of 1,000 different kinds in 1,000,000 different places across the earth. That's a good thought to me. To know that in that day when the Lord Jesus Christ executes judgment and sets up His kingdom, there won't be any idols around to be worshipped. And there won't be anybody wanting to worship any idols. And so there won't be this controversy going on among religionists throughout the world about who is God and about whether or not we have a right to worship our God Jehovah and the Lord Jesus Christ. Because all idols will be cast down along with those who worship them. And in that kingdom, there will only be one God, the Lord Jesus Christ and our God Jehovah, and there will be no other. And we'll be done with idolatry upon this earth. Now, kind of connected to that, when the Lord Jesus Christ grants our prayer, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven," we realize that terrorists will no longer mass murder innocent men, women, and children in acts of jihad, as they call it, in service to a false god and a false prophet. Won't be going on anymore. The Lord Jesus Christ will put an end to that. And I'll be so glad, my brothers and sisters, to see the great God of heaven settle the issue about Allah and Muhammad once and for all. You know, we'll never be able to settle that issue here on earth. It'll continue to be an idolatrous controversy as long as the world stands in its present state. But King Jesus is able to settle the controversy. And He's able to settle the issue of whether there is another God. And He's able to settle the issue of the murderous jihadists who in the name of God work wickedness upon the earth. You know, the Lord Jesus told us in the 16th of John in verse 2, He told the disciples on that day, He said, "They shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service." Do you know what the threat of Islamism is? It's the fact that they are convinced that they serve the one true God. And they are convinced, according to their own Bible, that to kill you as a Christian assures them credit and credibility in the presence of Allah. Imagine a religion that's formulated on the proposition that everybody's infidels except them, and to kill them makes them have favor with their God. Brethren, that's a dangerous thing to be upon the face of this earth. And they think when they kill a Christian that they do God a favor. And King Jesus is going to put an end to that. And I'm waiting for that wonderful day. I can't wait to see things made right concerning this religious thing, especially the religious fanaticism that condones murder as a righteous act. When the Lord Jesus answers our prayer, we will no longer do daily battle with Satan, brothers and sisters. We will no longer do daily battle with his legions, brothers and sisters. And we'll no longer do battle with our own carnal tendencies in order to avoid sinning. That will be over. Thank God! In the new earth, in the new heaven, we'll have a new body. A new, complete new body. And we'll be shed of this old carnal body and have a glorified body that has no inclination to sin. And the righteousness that we will to do, that we desire to do, will be our everyday fare, our everyday acts. We won't have to worry anymore about how the flesh falls under the temptation that persists in our lives and how it takes us to places that we don't want to go. When the Lord Jesus Christ answers this prayer, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven," you, as people of God, will have no more reason to shed tears about anything. God has promised that. You'll have no more reason to have sorrow ever again about anything. God has promised that. You'll have no more pain. You'll have no more death to have to look upon, nor death to suffer yourself. In Revelation 21:4, the Bible says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." That's a wonderful thought. Whatever's made you sorrowful in your life, you'll never have to go through it again. Whatever pain you've suffered, anything from getting a splinter in your hand to some major cut or broken bone, you'll never have to go through any of that again. Any sorrow that you've suffered, pains of heart from that which has come upon you and your experiences in your human relations, and your experiences with your family, and your experiences with your enemy, they'll all be gone. All of that sorrow wiped away, never to afflict you anymore. That's the promise that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us. And when the Lord answers that prayer, all of that will be over. When the Lord Jesus Christ answers our prayer, "Thy kingdom come," here's something to think about. The curse upon the earth, which has affected everything mankind has done, it's affected the natural order of everything that's happened, it's affected the outcome of every event that's occurred on the earth, this curse upon the earth will be gone forever. Revelation 22:3, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him." Gone the curse that started this whole ruckus long ago when Adam and Eve disobeyed God and fell in the garden. Gone will be the curse that has caused so many things to be ripe on the earth. You know, the sorrow and the pain and the tears that you shed because of that sorrow and pain, they're all products of the fact that the curse is up on the earth. And that'll all be gone. It'll all be gone forevermore because Jesus, King Jesus, will reign eternally in His kingdom that He has established by His righteousness and made us to be citizens of and recipients of the blessings of that kingdom. "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." And my last statement about that, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus."